becoming really mindful of the judgment we put on ourselves and the judgment we put out to others. I've noticed a trend that people who judge others are really harsh on themselves. And I think, you know, if you find that that negative self-talk for yourself is quite high, sometimes an easier place to start is to start to become aware of all the judgment that you consider to other people.
Hey guys, my name is Shayla. Welcome to the Hey Shayla podcast. I went from full-time travel to full-time new COVID mom, and holy wow, is motherhood and adulting a learning curve. There are so many decisions we need to make and a million ways to do it right. I created this podcast to interview some of my gurus to share their knowledge and empower you on your journey. Let me be your guinea pig and ask the questions that you think everyone else knows. Here, we're a little hippie. We try to do things as naturally as possible, and we don't take ourselves too seriously. But above all, we support one another and work to find what works. If you're into it, you're our people. Let's get started. Lindy, thank you so much for being on the podcast. I'm super excited to talk to you. You are a nutritionist and a dietitian. And when we talked about, okay, let's do this podcast together, what should we talk about? You're like, let's talk about body image and how to not pass down that like negative body image to our kids and help them be confident in their bodies. And also, hi, postpartum moms and all of that. And I was like, yeah, let's talk about that. I've never really thought about that. And obviously Aaliyah is a year and a half, but you're saying that it can start now. So I'm just excited to get into all of it. So thank you so much for being on. I'm super stoked that you agree.
Thanks for having me. This is going to be a good chat. You know, I think especially if you're a female, at some point, maybe you've struggled with body image or like how people think of you or feeling like you need to lose weight. So this is a really good chat and something I love talking about.
Yeah. It's all over your Instagram too, which I love. Nude nutritionist. I was looking it up the other day and I was looking up naked. I was like, it's naked. Oh, nude nutritionist.
Yes. You might get slightly different results if you search naked nutritionist. So don't do it. I mean, it's up to you. Do what you want.
But you're not going to find the good stuff. Well, anyway. yeah, but I feel like you're really good on your Instagram talking about body positivity in all aspects. And I think that's huge for nutrition and dietitians of like, because a lot of times it's how do you lose weight? How do you get thinner? How do you do this? And you're very much of let's be healthy. Let's love ourselves as we are and just get better, really.
Yeah. And it's a tall order to ask you to love yourself, especially if you've spent your whole life hating on yourself, hating on your body, being like always never feeling like you're the right size. So like the first step is to kind of go, all right, well, can I just not hate my body? You know, if body love is too far out of it for us, let's just start with my body is not as important as I've always made it out to be.
Yeah.
A bit of a background about who I am. I was 4 years old when I first thought that I had the wrong body size. I was in ballet class. I remember turning over to see some of the other girls and I just knew that my body was wrong. Like my thighs were bigger and didn't fit into that mold. And I think about it now and you think about like all our Disney characters or Frozen characters and every single female that we see on our cartoons has a very specific body type. They have a very specific look to them.
Yeah.
So I think I probably took that on board, but I didn't start dieting until I was about 11 years old. I got sent to a nutritionist, not because I had anything wrong with my body. There was nothing, you know, health issues. I just wasn't slim. I was, you know, very athletic. And I think I was probably going through puberty early, eating as much as my twin brothers. And I think there was a bit of concern that I would, you know, just keep eating.
Yeah.
And so this kind of started for me a decade of dieting. I became obsessed with trying to be healthy. And by trying to be healthy, what I actually mean is trying to lose weight.
Right.
Each week I'd be sent back to my nutritionist. I'd get weighed in to see how good I'd been that week. And what it really did to me is it really forced me to adopt very disordered behavior in order to be a good girl, in order to lose the weight, in order to look the way that I thought I needed to look. And it didn't matter if I did really unhealthy things to my body, I was still rewarded and told that I'd done a really good job. By the time I was 21, I had become so obsessed, messed up around food. I was over-exercising, under-eating. And what ended up happening is I would end up binge eating, which is basically like when you're a compulsive dieter, you know, let's say you've tried a few, what you might find is that you wake up in the morning, you're like, I'm trying to be healthy. And then like by afternoon, you're like rampaging in the pantry. And like suddenly you've eaten like, you know, peanut butter straight from the jar, like bowls of cereal, bread. Like you can binge on healthy food, you can binge on unhealthy food. And often when you're doing binge eating, it's very much in secret. So by 21, I was like convinced that I was the only one who did this, that there was something wrong with me, that I had poor willpower, that, you know, I'd been dieting for all these years. And I was here now 20 kilograms, you know, technically 20 kilograms overweight. And you'd never met someone who was more obsessed with trying to lose weight. So there was this like contrast to me. And I decided then, well, I decided I was going to be a nutritionist dietitian for all the wrong reasons. I was like, all right, well, I'm going to study this thing that's going to help teach me how to control my weight.
Right.
And through studying nutrition, I was like, actually, health is so much more than calories. It was this light bulb moment for me, because if you're around about my age, you know, born in the 80s and the 90s, you probably have been a bit of a victim of that diet nonsense, where you're told that you just need to weigh less. So this was this big moment for me of going, all right, well, wow, I actually don't need to practice like all those other dietitians and nutritionists I've seen before that basically just gave me disordered eating advice and, you know, camouflaged it as health advice. And so I decided, all right, if I'm going to be a dietitian, I have to do things differently. I can't, you know, I have to promote actual health, which is why I talk about topics like body image. This is why I help people, you know, feel good about their bodies. I mean, health isn't, it's not about weighing less. In fact, many people say to me, oh, Lindy, I'm just struggling to lose the last like 10 pounds or 5 kilograms or whatever it is. And then I say to you, like, maybe you're not meant to lose those last few pounds or kilograms. Yeah. Maybe this weight where your body sits at comfortably is your happy weight. It's the weight where you fall asleep easily without having to worry about how many calories you ate that day. You can fall asleep because your hormones are balanced, your mood is stable, you have the energy to do the things you love. Maybe you're not meant to weigh what you did in high school. How about that? This kind of crazy idea that what if health was measured by something other than before and after photos and measured by something other than the number on the scale or the size of your pants?
The feeling that I got when you just explained that was like a relief, kind of. Like it's just not what is talked about. It is like to be like, oh, this is your body. This is where it functions the best, is not, I don't know why this is like mind blowing for me, but that's not like the most ridiculous thing to say, but it kind of is with the culture that we're in to be like, oh no, no. Oh, you didn't understand me. I still need to lose 10 pounds. No, I did. And I'm suggesting that maybe what you are at right now is exactly where your body functions the best.
Mm. And especially if people are kind of like, you know, when your body says to you, you know what, I don't actually want to lose any more weight. You're trying all the things and your body's like, it feels like your body's fighting against you. Maybe it is. Maybe it's like, hey, dude, we're good. We're meant to be at this weight. And I think it's really, there's a relief to hear a nutritionist dietitian tell you this, because we've been drummed into this idea that, you know, less weight is always better, right? And that's just not true, just based on all the evidence and stuff. What really matters is less than your weight is the behaviors that you have, right? Like, you know, do you find exercise that you enjoy and, you know, do it consistently? Yeah. And can you eat more veggies? You know, it's not about cutting stuff out of your diet, which is, I think, the traditional advice where it's like, hey, you can't eat like carbs, gluten, sugar, like blah, blah, blah. Like the list is humongous. And then suddenly you're like, oh my goodness, what am I allowed to eat?
Salad.
None of that.
Right.
It's like, what if we reverse that and we're like, all right, here's a whole bunch of foods I want you to eat more of. And then suddenly you're like, okay, wow, I got to really hustle to get those vegetables in. And what if exercise was enjoyable? Crazy idea. What if it wasn't like punishment? You know, what if it didn't feel like a struggle? You didn't have to rely on willpower because you wanted to do it. You know, maybe you're just doing the wrong exercise. If high intensity interval training sounds like exhausting, if the idea of lying in your bedroom doing crunches is like not fun, you're doing it wrong. You know, let's find something else that's going to bring you joy.
But there has to be, well, this is probably just me programmed, but like,
how do you decide that someone's at their ideal weight? Because if they're coming to you, I'm going to over-exaggerate just so I don't offend anyone. They're coming to you at 1,000 pounds. You're not going to go, oh, this is probably the weight that you function best at. At what point are you like, okay, this is, do you know what I'm saying? Like, because you don't want to
say,
okay.
Great. What I want to see are the health behaviors, right? So if you're telling me, right, well, I'm exercising several times a week, I'm eating lots of vegetables, I'm like snacking on fruit, I'm getting legumes, I'm eating when I'm hungry, I feel comfortable stopping when I feel full. Yeah. If you're telling me you're doing all these things, your body's going to find a weight where it feels comfortable. You're not going to weigh 1,000 pounds is what I'm saying. But when we focus on losing weight, so let's say I start running. I'm like, all right, I'm going to start running to lose weight. Now in 2 weeks' time, if I hop on the scale and I haven't lost weight, am I going to keep running? No way. The only reason I was doing that was to lose weight.
Right.
And then this is what we do when we try to lose weight. We go, all right, well, I'm willing to do this for a few months. And if I lose the weight, then I'll work out the strategy and the plan to maintain it.
Yeah.
If you're not willing to do that behavior for the rest of your life, and I'm not kidding, for the rest of your life, then as soon as you get to that goal weight, you're going to go, I'm done. I did it. Tick.
Yes.
And you're going to go right back to what you were doing before. So this is what dieting teaches us to do. You start on Monday, you adopt all these health habits that are very unfun. Like you eat sad, sad salads, you know, the like, you know, like salad dressing on the side. Like honestly, guys, the only reason I turn up for salads is salad dressing. So like, let's not make it even more sad than it has to be. And then like, you don't want to keep doing this stuff. So once I got to this point where I was, okay, so I was 21, I was binge eating, I was now technically obese. And I was like, you'd never met someone who was more obsessed with this stuff. And so I thought, all right, what I've got to do is I've got to stop dieting. I've got to stop doing stuff that I hate. I've got to like one by one add in these healthy habits that feel good, that feel enjoyable. Over the course of 4 years, I lost 20 kilograms, which is I'm about 50 pounds, I want to say, like 45. Yeah. I'm like, it's a bit.
By stopping
dieting.
And
I did it really slowly. Yeah, by stopping dieting, by like not buying into the bullshit.
Yeah.
And what it did is it freed up my mind to think about things other than food. What we know is that when you create that list of forbidden foods, you increase your cravings for the very foods that you're not meant to be eating. You increase your hunger hormones, which is ghrelin. You reduce leptin, which is the satiety hormone that tells you that you've actually had enough. And your preoccupation about these foods goes up. So that's just one aspect of a diet that kind of makes you go crazy. So you're basically setting yourself up for failure. Then you consider that as soon as you cut out all these foods, your body has a biological natural response to restriction to overeat. Like your body doesn't want you to starve, right? Like it doesn't like when you're losing weight, it's like, oh, that weight is protective. That weight is in case we get sick. And unless it feels like there is food security, there is food safety, food is always available to it.
Yeah.
Like as soon as you get home alone, you're going to be like, I can't stop eating, like a cookie monster. And you know, we don't need to do that to ourselves. We can kind of, there is a better way to be healthy without dieting, without, you know, the wellness wankery is what I kind of think of it as. Because there's the other side of the coin where it's like, oh, well, you have to buy all these expensive superfoods and like you have to sell a kidney in order to be able to afford, you know, any of them. I'm like, let's just not go down that pathway.
Yeah.
What if it was easier? Yeah. What if it was simpler? And it is.
Wow. This is amazing. I really am. I love everything that you're saying. It's incredible. And I just think it is the exact opposite of what we're told and what I think you're right. Like, and then, well, I think every girl kind of goes through that sort of like comparing themselves to everyone else and try, all you know is calories. So all you do is calories. And then once you start learning that there's nutrient dense food that makes better calories than other ones. And like, then you can start to be more healthy. But I just,
To everything. So here's this idea. Like we don't need to count calories at all. Calories are kind of like not useful. And we know this because we've been counting calories for like the last 50 years. And, you know, if you look at, you know, our struggle with our weight has only increased as we've been counting calories. So we know that doesn't work. You have your own inbuilt weight management system. All of us do. It's your appetite. The sole purpose of appetite is to tell you, hey, I'd like a little more energy, or I'm good for now. We're good for the energy. Like its sole purpose. What dieting does is it basically tells us to ignore hunger, eat mm-hmm. based on a meal plan.
Yes.
It gives us food rules. Like you can't have carbs after a certain time. You have to eat breakfast, the most important meal of the day. You have to eat frequently.
Right.
All your parents have told you, you have to finish everything on your plate. So right. our entire lives have been programmed to ignore this hunger system.
Mm-hmm.
But the hunger system, what we know from research is if people simply tune into their hunger, eat intuitively, they're able to eat within 50 calories of their energy requirements for that day. Now, why that's crazy is because every day you burn different amounts of energy. Like if it's a rainy day and you're just lying on the couch all day, you're not going to burn as much. If you've got your period or you're like running around or you know, the weather's hot or something, you're going to be burning different amount of energy. Hmm. So eating according to your hunger is so much more accurate than simply like arbitrarily going, right, well, I'm going to have this many calories every single day,
yeah,
irrespective of my changing energy requirements. So the point is, there is a simple way, the way we don't have to eat according to tracking calories. And right, once you do it, it's mind-blowingly simple. And when I learned about it, I was like, why did you not teach me this in school? This
right.
is like, this feels quite fundamental.
Yes, right. So how do, okay, so this is a beautiful segue of like, how do we teach our kids this? How do we teach them that they don't need to clean their plate or give them more when they, like, I don't know. What's
yeah.
the best way to
okay,
do that?
Okay, so you're at an interesting age right now where Aaliyah's, how many months is she now?
She's a year and a half.
Okay, so that's exactly it. So around about a year and a half, you might go, all right, well, I've got an easy eater, someone who eats everything. And then around a year and a half, we start to see signs of fussy eating, which is basically that they start refusing certain foods. And
yeah.
what we know is that some parents, once their kid refuses a food, they go, all right, well, they don't like that food. And then what happens is we stop offering those foods. But you know, like some days I feel like eating a sandwich, and like some days I feel like having a salad, and you know, we're not going to want to eat everything on every single day.
Yeah.
They say it takes kids like at least 10 times to actually see a food, taste the food before they even taste it.
Hmm.
So all the research basically supports this idea that what we should be doing is just exposing our kids to foods. And I know it's really frustrating because I do this thing. I made my son like these healthy three ingredient pancakes on the weekend, and I was yeah. always smug and happy about it, and I gave it to him, and like he like literally picked it up and threw it at the dog, and the dog was like stoked. Ooh. And like he was stoked, and it was really, you know, everyone had fun except I was like, you didn't eat the pancakes.
Yeah.
And I ended up feeding him yogurt. Anyway, the point is that, you know, you will go to effort to try and make this food, and you want them to eat it, and it's frustrating if you like keep offering it and they don't eat it. But
yeah,
a key part of it is to keep offering it and to not yeah. make a big deal about this. And I know this is hard, but if I give my kid broccoli, I'm not going to go, hi, why don't you just give it a go? Why don't you just try it? Because then in that way, we're kind of making a big deal about it. So here's the phrase that we say, we put the plate of food on their table, whether or not it's healthy or unhealthy, based on our perceptions of it. And we go, here you go. Completely non-judgmental. And that way we're not kind of building in the sense of like good, bad, yeah. you have to eat your vegetables kind of thing. The other thing that we're doing is we're unattached. Like if they eat it or they don't eat it, okay, we take it away from them. And this is very hard to do always, but yeah. this is the ideal world.
Yeah.
The other thing that I think is kind of interesting is that we're trying to give them veggies in veggie format. So like, you know, if you're giving your kid like zucchini muffins, do you guys call them zucchinis? Do
yeah.
you know what zucchini
yep.
is? Yeah. Cool. I was thinking it was one of those weird like translation issues.
Yeah.
zucchini muffins. Like, are you teaching them to like zucchinis or are you teaching them to like muffins?
Mm.
So it's like, how can we be trying to teach them to like eat veggies in veggie format and for them to throw the zucchini sticks on the floor like 20 times and to still kind of turn up and give them those foods to eat?
All right, we're going to talk about probiotics. Love bug probiotics specifically. I took these probiotics all through pregnancy, all postpartum, and now I'm giving them to my toddler as she's more on solids and less on breast milk. During pregnancy, it helps my gut biome. It helps seed the gut biome for my baby. And we know that a healthy gut contributes to a healthy immune system. You can take their prenatal probiotics right along with your prenatal vitamins. And they have a subscription option. So you can just get them delivered to you exactly when you run out. I do not like subscription things, but I love them for my vitamins so that I never have to run out. I have an affiliate code, HeyShayla, for 15% off. I hope you love them. Let's get back to it. Two questions. Do you recommend Cause I'll like, sometimes I'll put 5 different things on her plate and I've seen like, oh, give them one thing at a time or like, oh, give them whatever and make sure it touches so that they don't get freak out about food touching or whatever. And then I'm gonna ask my second question just so I don't forget it. Cause I may have already forgotten it. Oh, if they eat all of the pears and they leave all the zucchini, do I replace the pears again? Like, do I keep refilling the pears or do I let them kind of do the rest of the plate? Mm. What do you think?
Okay, really good questions. So one thing we don't want to do is overload the plate with too much food because it can be quite overwhelming. So I think they've got quite a small stomach. Rather, what we do is we put less on the plate to start with. Let them eat what they want to eat. And then that way we can, let's say they ran out of the pears. We only put 2 slices of pear on there. Okay, go ahead and like re-add the pear. Once it gets to the point where you're like, okay, well, you've eaten the entire pear, there's still other food, then you might go, okay, we're good, there is other food. And if they go, well, I'm actually done eating, you go, you're done eating. Once again, this is coming back to this respect of their hunger and going, okay, well, I'm teaching you now that you say you're full. I'm not going to force you to keep eating based on the fact that I think you need to get more nutrients.
Yeah.
Babies are very intuitive eaters. They understand how to listen to hunger and, you know, and provided that we're providing that variety, we're giving them the choices. You'd be surprised that I think we have this idea, well, if I just let myself or my child eat whatever they want, they're going to go crazy. But the body actually does like eating healthy foods. So like, you know, when you go away on holiday and you're like, oh, I just ate and drank everything. You come back and you kind of crave healthy eating.
Yeah,
your body does want you to eat healthy foods. It has that, you know, inbuilt mechanism to go, I feel good when I eat healthy foods. And if I eat too much of this, I don't feel that well. Which is, by the way, a conversation you can have with them. If they ever eat too much chocolate, you go, well, okay, well, you know, it's not that chocolate's bad. It's not that chocolate's unhealthy. It's that your body doesn't feel good when you eat too much chocolate. And that's that's a fun
more about the intuition and how it feels instead of the external.
Exactly. Right. Like letting their body become their own guides about how they eat, how they look after themselves. And it's a really useful thing about teaching them to firstly, body respect. And the other thing is to kind of go, I like to check in on my body. So from like a mental health perspective, one day they can go, well, how am I feeling? What is that? What is that emotion that's coming up? Or if it's hunger or if they're like, okay, well, maybe I should make an appointment to go see the doctor because I'm noticing something in my body. You're teaching them that, yes, there are health experts, but they are the expert on their body.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really important lesson to teach them.
Totally. And by me respecting that she's full, she learns to respect that she's full.
Absolutely.
Love. Okay. Wait, like, and are we talking?
There's nuance.
Okay. Yeah.
There's nuance. Cause like, you know, let's say you feed them and then like, they don't want to eat that much. And then half an hour later, they're like, I'm hungry. Well, you know, it's kind of tricky when, you know, if you think about us in the adult world, like I don't have someone who's arbitrarily bringing me food at some point. Like when I'm hungry, I'm like, okay, I'm going to go eat my food. So it's a bit tricky for them because we're basically going, well, these are the meal times. And I think what we create is a meal window. And so you might go, all right, well, within the hour, this is the time that you have to eat. And after that, if you decide you don't want to eat anymore, then maybe, all right, well, you're going to get a snack soon.
Right.
You know, we tend to feed our kids pretty frequently.
The day.
So you're not going to starve. Like you might like in an extra hour, you'll get it's snack time. So we can eat then.
Yeah.
And it's okay to be a little bit hungry, comfortably hungry. You know, discomfort is kind of okay.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about really hungry kids. I'm just talking about like,
okay. Right. They're kind of fussy. That actually helped we taught her sign language and she will tell us when she's hungry. So
that's amazing.
Oh, it is so helpful. Cause it'll be, I mean, we do sort of have a window, like, okay, we eat within a couple hours of her waking up, but she'll be like, and we're like, okay, cool. And we feed her. And that's been
amazing.
So helpful. Yeah.
I love that you can do that and you can be flexible and fluid to kind of go, oh, you're hungry right now.
Yeah.
I would eat if I was hungry. So I'm going to feed you because it's hungry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hungry time. The other thing I want to talk about is body imaging kids. So like, So I did a poll on my Instagram and 89% of people, which is about 7,000 respondents, said yes to the question, has your family or someone in like an important person in your life ever commented negatively about your food or your weight? Oh. And like for 89% of people to be like, yes, that has happened to me. What it shows me is that this is a huge issue. And as I said before, maybe you are a similar age to us where you're like, you're born in the 80s or the 90s and you're like, your parents, our parents' generation were like the Jane Fonda generation. They were really into diet culture. They were the cabbage soup diet. They got hit the hardest with things like Atkins. Calorie yeah. counting was massive. And they didn't have people like, you know, people like me kind of going, hey, you don't need to starve yourself to, you know, right. They didn't have the counterculture that's happening at the moment. So yeah. I think that I know I help a lot of people of the older generation trying to, you know, they've been dieting for 40 years, 50 years. Point is, they raised people like us and they believe that by commenting on what we eat or whatever, you know, kids eat or our bodies, that they were helping us. They yeah. believe that, you know, here's the fact. If you're in a larger body, you're going to experience discrimination, right? We know that's a fact. You know, the healthcare system isn't built for, you know, providing you with the healthcare that you need. It just, you know, you're going to might get bullied at school. As right. I know I did. And so what we need to recognize is that our parents probably are trying to help us when they're saying these things. The problem is they're really unhelpful.
Yeah.
In fact, not only is it like, it's actually damaging. And so what we want to do is try and be, Can this kind of behavior end with us? Can we try and raise our kids in a way where we're not commenting on their food? We're not commenting on their weight. We're not giving them a complex about, you know, right or wrong and how their body should and shouldn't look.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, I have sympathy towards the older generation and it helps me not be angry about the fact that I was sent to a dietitian when I was 11
yeah.
and told that I was the wrong weight, even though I was perfectly fine.
Right.
Because I think they've been victims of this, you know, this world that tells you that your worth is based on how thin you are and how good your willpower is supposedly. Right. And I think let's stop that with us. So one of the things you could do is firstly become really aware of how you talk about your body in front of your child. Mm. So of course in fact, ideally we're not making comments about body really, unless it's about physical movement. Like, oh, I love how strong my arms feel today. Or, you know, I love, you know, the fact that I can kind of run around with you is so cool.
Yeah.
But we're not talking about, oh, I really hate my stomach. I feel fat today. You know, those kinds of things. And what else is important is we're not commenting on other people's bodies. So we're not walking yes. on the street and saying, oh my goodness, look at that person. We're not going, oh, I can't believe she keeps eating. We're not making those kinds of comments as well,
right.
including people we see on TV. So when, like, let's say we're watching TV and like the news reader comes on and we're like, oh my goodness, I can't believe she decided to wear that today.
Right.
You know, it extends to all those kinds of yeah. things where, and I think there's something really beneficial in for us beyond our kids in becoming really mindful of the judgment we put on ourselves and the judgment we put out to others. I've noticed a trend that people who judge others are really harsh on themselves.
I agree.
I think, you know, if you find that that negative self-talk for yourself is quite high, sometimes an easier place to start is to start to become aware of all the judgment that you consider to other projecting. People, and especially yeah. like in what areas, like if you're constantly thinking about other people's bodies, just notice that, because that's probably not about their bodies. It's probably yeah. some good work to do. And so like, can we do less judgment in general? Or, and you know, if you have to judge, like tell your partner, write it down in like the notes section of your phone,
right.
like do what you have to do to not verbalize that in front of your kids.
Yeah. Or I've also
yeah.
like, if you think of a negative thought towards someone, recognize it and be like, okay, there it is. And then try and find three good things that you can say about them to sort of like, or about yourself. Like if you're looking in the mirror and you're like, oh my gosh, I still have the pooch or whatever, then go, okay, I really like, and maybe not even physical, but like, okay, I like how patient I was with my daughter today, or I like how my hair looks today, or just finding three things. I think that's really hard for people who are critical of themselves, but it's a yeah. good exercise to not only have that trigger go off of like, oh my gosh, I just did it again. And I'm not going to beat myself up about it, but I'm going to find three things that are like, make me feel good.
Yeah. Or even one. I mean, if like, yeah. you know, we'll take what we can get at this point.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
get the one in.
Yeah.
What I often like to do, and what you were saying is spot on. It's the awareness of the fact that I'm doing it in the
yeah.
first place, just like sometimes the hardest bit. What I like to do is I imagine that my brain is like a radio channel, and I'm like, okay, well, I can choose which channel I'm listening to. And I decide to change the channel, and I go, I yeah. consciously go, all right, we're not going to be on this channel anymore. Let's move on to a different thought wavelength. And I just kind of change the channel. I like the idea of counteracting it though. I'm going to start to do that.
Yeah. But I also like that you're saying don't do it. At least recognize that you're doing it, but for sure don't do it in front of your kids. And I feel like there's a lot of, I remember growing up, and not even about body image, but like you would leave a family event or leave your friend's house and your parents would just start being like, oh, your sister, blah, 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 blah. And like my aunt and the, oh, that kid was crazy. And you're in the backseat just like listening to all the gossip. But like, that is super impactful of like, just how they talk about things and how they did, what judgments they have, or even like, wow, she's a really hard worker. Like, that's great. Talk about those things, especially in front of your children. I think that that's just awareness. I think you're spot on.
You're growing up in a culture where people are judging others around you. You grow up to believe that the world is a very judgmental place.
Yes.
And it is. That's true. Right. But it kind of creates a culture of you being scared to do something, to step out, because you've heard what the back chatter is. You know, I could be the victim of that one day. And you know, it stops you from living big. Ooh. So I think it's huge. So the other thing is, you know, if your parents commented on your weight growing up or your food or even to each other, maybe your mum says, oh, you know, I'm really fat at the moment, or your dad tells your mum to stop eating so much, or whatever it is, I've heard it all. We might need to recruit them as allies to help us raise our kids. And it might be an opportunity for them. It might be an opportunity for us. So if they are kind of frequently judgmental talking about bodies, I would go up to them before it becomes a problem and say, hey, we're trying to do something a little bit different with our parenting style. Can you make a big effort not to talk about, you know, people being fat or being judgmental around them or talking about how much food we should or shouldn't be eating?
Yeah.
Try and recruit them and get them on board. You will need to have that conversation multiple times. You know, like that's the sad thing. This is what I speak to a lot of people about. They're like, oh, well, I asked them once and then they forgot about it. And then they kept making comments. And now I just feel like, you will need to go, you know, and all you do is you offer reminders. So, hey, you know how we mentioned about the fact that I'd like you not to talk about weight in front of the,
right.
Do you mind if you help us do that? And so what we're doing, recruiting them as allies, we're helping to shift, like create a positive body image for our kids. And I think it can really, really help. I know because I grew up in a culture where, you know, weight was always discussed and how someone looked was always discussed. It would have been a huge change for me if that wasn't how I grew up.
Yeah.
Now that said, like we can kind of try and control the culture in which, you know, our family environment grows up. But fundamentally, like I talked about, kids are exposed to the world and the world is judgmental and the world is kind of obsessed with how you look. We talk about the cartoons, we talk about the people we see on TV, they all kind of look the same way. Yeah. There's like a certain body type we like know we're meant to try and subscribe to. And so I think we can't control it all. And your kids at some point are going to realize that looks matter. And so, you know, if you do get to the point where, you know, your son or your daughter, or, you know, they come up to you and they go, hey, I feel like, hey, do you think I'm attractive? Do you think I'm pretty? What you might want to say to them is, yes, I love how you look.
Yeah.
But it's only one part of who you are. There are so many other parts to you. You are smart. You are funny. You are brilliant. We can't say to our kids, looks don't matter, because we'd be lying to them. And I think that's not the right message. What we want to teach them is there is a world in which looks, you know, are a component, but it's really just going to be one part of who they are. And they can be this very varied individual where their looks are just, you know, not
a piece of it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not like they have to put their entire self-worth based on how they look. And I think that's a big conversation to have and to repeat to them and remind them of.
So do you think as we're parenting, trying to be less, oh my gosh, you're so pretty in that dress, and comment more on those things like, oh, you're so strong for doing that. And oh, that was really funny. You're so funny. And like trying to focus on characteristics.
It's so important that we're trying not to make appearance related comments about kids. I know when I see my nephew and my niece, like I have to concentrate so hard not to say anything related to their appearance. And I find myself, especially with my niece, saying things like, oh, I love your pretty dress.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, okay, well, maybe I can reframe it. I'm like, oh, I love your style. I love the way you put that outfit together because it shows how creative you are. And I'm like, even that is like a better way to do it. Yeah. If you feel like you're kind of stuck, talking about their creativity in that way is kind of handy. But still, I mean, I think we could probably, you ask them more questions opposed to just commenting on how they look. But it's a hard one.
Yeah.
Also, when we catch up with our friends, like, can we, you know, let's say a friend has lost weight. Yeah, a lot of people lose weight for reasons that aren't, like, they're depressed or they're sick or they're not eating because they have an underlying disordered eating thing going on. And when we catch up with our girlfriends and we go like, hey, oh my God, you look amazing. Have you lost weight? What we're doing is we're like completely missing what might be underlying there. Or so you might just go, hey, how have things been for you? And trying not to comment on how other people look in general.
Right. Especially attached to, oh, so good. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like as though, oh my God, you've lost weight is a compliment in and of itself.
Right.
It is not.
Yeah. So, I mean, especially most of the listeners, I assume, are mothers. And I feel like that transition, woof, it can be really difficult for a lot of people to go from whatever they were before to pregnancy, then to postpartum new bodies and trying to get used to them and trying to lose the weight and trying to like do all of these things. So kind of what do you recommend, or when you work with postpartum women, what's the focus there?
Yeah. And it's really hard because even when I was pregnant, I really had a sense that I needed to gain the right amount of weight. Like there was this perfect number that I needed to hit, and I'd get weighed and I'd get like assessed like, oh, looks like you've gained a bit too much this past like few months. And I'm like, okay, well, I can't escape it. Even in pregnancy, I have to be the perfect pregnant woman. Then you lose the weight. You get kind of desperate to get back to exercise. I found that I got quite keen to get back to exercise, and I couldn't help but recognize that part of it was because I was missing this old version of me, this old body that I had, and the person that could exercise and felt strong. I had a C-section, so it took me a little bit of time to get back into the working my core. And I know someone in my Pilates class, she started exercising way too soon after having a baby, and now she's got like permanent abdominal separation. She needs an operation.
Oh, man.
And all of this is driven by our desire to try and look the way we used to look.
Yeah.
And it's so tough because we have bounce back culture, which is like, oh my goodness, look at this model who walks on like Victoria's Secret runway after like 3 months after having a baby. And I'm like, that's not me. Right. I was never that girl. And some people do bounce back, like they do. There's a small percentage of people, not me. And so everything I had to do was trying to help myself have a more positive body image. I noticed that temptation to diet, to restrict, to do something crazy.
While you're breastfeeding?
But, you know, when you're breastfeeding, you've got to keep supply up. So we can't we can't be doing this. There's a part of me that kept thinking about like the sacrifices I'd made as a mom. And I was like, okay, I can't maybe do the things I used to do to try and lose weight. I have to, I have to be slow and steady, and I have to be smart about this. And so one of the things that we have to adopt here is this idea of being patient. And I needed to have multiple different sizes in my wardrobe in order to account for my pregnancy body, my postnatal body. And, you know, now that I'm, you're slowly creeping back into my older clothes. And I had to rotate those clothes through my wardrobe so that when I opened my, you know, 2 months after having a baby, I would open my door and be like, okay, there are clothes that I can wear. And I think what we do is we resist the temptation to buy ourselves new clothes. So it increases this need that I need to lose the weight quickly. Because I wake up in the morning and I hate the way I look, and I can't find something to wear, and it's awful. And it pushes us to want to adopt some extreme measures so that we can get there quickly. Maybe compromise our supply as a result of it.
That's the thing. Like, you know, what worked prior is not. Because I remember just feeling the same way.
You're
like, I'll just restrict a little bit. Oh, actually, I can't. I need to be eating more calories than I'm supposed to be eating to nutrize. To provide nutrition for this child.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
That's it. You will never have higher energy requirements than when you are breastfeeding, and you'll never be thirstier in your life than when you are breastfeeding. And so back to this hunger idea, you are going to notice that you are ravenously hungry. And that's because you have much higher energy requirements. And so just like, if that's a bit of a respect for your hunger and the way that it's trying to guide you to eat the, you know, eat the right amount of energy for your body. But that makes it even harder. So now you're more ravenous. You hate your body even more. Not only are we dealing with like maybe excess weight, but we're also kind of like, oh my goodness, my boobs, they are like, why do they look like this? And yeah. My stomach is like, I never liked my stomach and now look at it.
Right. Yeah.
So it's a hard thing. And I think some things that I use to remind myself, apart from the fact that I did always have clothes in the right size for me in my cupboard and I removed them. So that was one key thing.
If you are at all like me, you were terrified to try and start baby-led weaning. I listened to a podcast that talked about the difference between choking and gagging, and it helped a lot. So I looked up the person who was talking about it, and it was Edwana from My Little Eater. She has a course that shows you how to introduce it, what features to look for in a high chair. She gives you some food ideas and when to know if your baby is ready. What I like about her is that she's like, cool, if they're ready for solids, here's what you're gonna do. But if they're not showing these things, maybe just start with purees and that's okay. For me, I was all in. I'm like, yes, baby-led weaning. Here's a whole banana. And then as soon as my baby like attempted to bite it, I was like, okay, maybe not. So she's super supportive of all the ways that you can feed your baby. I love it. I have an affiliate code for their courses. Hey, Shayla, for 15% off. Let's get back to it.
Another thing I do is I constantly remind myself that how I look is the least important thing about me. Or let's say I'm like walking and like I catch a glimpse of myself and I don't like how I look. I'm like, it's not my job to look perfect from every angle. Let's say I take a photo of my baby and I'm like, ew, I don't like how I look. It's not my job to be perfect and look great all the time. You know, that's just fine.
Yeah.
When I sit in the bath with my baby, he does not care how my body looks. Yeah. Doesn't care. He loves me so deeply. It's amazing. He loves my pancake boobs. He thinks they're so fun, you know? So it's like, you know, my body is lovable. And you know what it is? It's constantly having to remind myself of these things because when you live in our culture that tells you from the age you are, you're very young, that your worth is determined by how thin you are and how little you weigh and how good you look and what your body looks like, you are going to have that very strong desire to diet and restrict and just lose the weight very quickly. And what you need to do is you need to have these body acceptance kind of reminders in your life so that you can remind yourself, all right, I'm going to do this the slow way. I'm going to just be patient.
Yes.
And now what does that look like? Right. So I want to be like, okay, well just don't diet and then just like, you know, exist, because what ends up happening is you feel out of control of food. You stay where you are and you don't feel good. I know for myself, I had like this mini identity crisis after I had a baby. Feel like, who am I? Like I look in the mirror and I'm like, I don't recognize you. You don't look like the girl I was before. And your life is very monotonous. You know, COVID did not help, but I was like, you do the same thing every day. And you used to live a very adventurous, very fun life. So that, you know, that didn't help either. Okay. But what are we going to do now that we're at this point? Okay. Well, all right. I am postpartum. I don't want to diet. I don't want to compromise my supply. I don't want to compromise my health, but I do eventually want to get back into my old clothes. And I think, you know, like I talked about when I was 21 and I was like, all right, I'm not going to diet anymore. You need to find things that you go, I am willing to do this for the rest of my life. And I'm not talking about a whole bunch of stuff all at once. I'm talking about one thing that you can implement into your life that you think is doable. And think about it a bit like, right, when you go on a diet, you try to adopt all these new habits and it requires a lot of willpower, a lot of conscious thought. But what we'd really like is for some of these habits to become autopilot. So it's a bit like, you know, when you started learning how to drive a car, like you'd have to get in the car and you'd be like, oh my goodness, I have to concentrate so hard on everything. This is very scary.
Yeah.
And now you jump in the car, like you can be on the phone, hands-free, of course. You know, you can be like passing your like baby back like a toy, and like, you know, you can do these things because you're on autopilot, because driving is now easy for you.
Yeah.
This is kind of how we want it to be with like a healthy habit that you adopt. So once we accumulate them slowly, we have time for them to become autopilot, for them to just become like second nature to us. Like, this is just what I do and who I am.
Right.
Once we get to that point, we add in another and we add in another. And in a year from now, I promise you, you're going to look around and be like, I am a really healthy person. I got my shit together.
Yeah.
And like, it wasn't a struggle. I didn't have to start from scratch every Monday. I wasn't always like, oh, I need to get back onto it, you know, after a weekend. And so I think we're part of this is the long haul. It's about this idea that we're not going to just like lose a lot of weight really quickly. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have to ease our way back into our old clothes at a steady, steady pace.
Yeah.
And if you can resist that temptation to just like go extreme, if you can do it in a way where you're focusing on the foods you want to add more of into your diet. But I call this crowding. So, you know, if diets tell us what we can't eat, crowding is telling ourselves all the foods that we want to eat more of so we can be healthier. As a result, we feel like there are plenty of foods that we can eat. We're working to add more foods into our diet. We naturally crowd out the less healthy foods without like feeling like we're deprived.
Yeah.
We can't cut out healthy foods, unhealthy foods. I hate it when people are like, oh, I'm just going to like quit sugar for like 3 months. And then like after that, they're like, can't stop eating sugar. They're like, it's a free for all. It's a frenzy, right? Because this is what the body does. So we don't need to do that. What you need to do is you still need to allow yourself permission to have these, you know, foods that you love. Can you eat them in front of other people? That's a really big one. Okay. If you find that you're kind of like, you know, grabbing the chocolate when like your partner's out and you're like, okay, I'm just going to have a little bit of chocolate now. That's a different thing from like, oh, we're eating chocolate. Let's have some chocolate together.
Yeah.
There's a degree of the secretness versus like the eating in front. Yeah. The shame aspect of it.
Right.
Do I actually have permission to eat this? So if your body believes that I do not have permission to eat this, there is a chance that it's going to feel like, all right, I need to try and eat as much of this food as I possibly can now that I have access to it. If your body believes that at any time I want chocolate, I am allowed to eat chocolate. Chocolate is always available to me. I can have chocolate later. I can have it tomorrow. Then we don't have that experience.
Yeah.
So what we need to do is we need to remind our bodies that we're always allowed to eat chocolate. It's not off limits to us. It is a choice. Do I want to eat chocolate today? Is this what I really feel like? And then we can actually feel so much more in control around chocolate. Eat it with your friends and family. That's when we're meant to eat chocolate, not when we're like, you know, hiding in the pantry. Ourselves.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, like try to get as many like blocks just to like, you know, make ourselves feel better. That's a numbing behavior that we do. So it's like, are you actually giving yourself permission to eat that chocolate? Or are you just trying to get it in while you can and then I won't have any chocolate later. Tomorrow I'll be good. I won't have any more chocolate. And then the same pattern keeps repeating itself. Well,
and what I like is that you are not saying, you don't need to fit into your old pants. That's not what you're saying. Yeah, sure. If that's your goal to fit into your pants, cool. It's not a race to the finish line. And it shouldn't be because I feel like especially postpartum, you are breastfeeding and you are recovering and you're learning a new life. You're like, there's so much going on. So to add in, I need to do interval training 3 weeks postpartum because I don't feel like my old self, like pump the brakes. So you need to just take it easy and you can get there. But I love the idea of just, let's make sure that we're eating vegetables once a day. Let's make sure that at least that happens because there's so much going on in the first year, honestly, that it's sometimes your brain doesn't even function. I feel like your brain's not meant to function. It's meant to just kind of go mom brain so that you can keep this human alive. And that's it. Mm-hmm. Cause like postpartum, I was just, I couldn't function. I couldn't think about work. I couldn't think about anything. It was just like, keep the human alive. And so,
yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So then to add the stress, because stress can mess with your supply, whatever. It's not just about your supply. It's about you. I went through a huge identity crisis too. And so to pack on, to try and get back to where I need to be and all of these things, giving yourself some grace and being in it for the long haul. I love the idea of, will I do this for the rest of my life? Do you hate high interval training? Do you love yoga? Great. Start doing yoga. Do yoga because you like how calm it helps you feel and that it gives you a little bit of meditation time, not because you want a yoga body. Because exactly what you're saying, when you don't get the yoga body, or if you don't get the yoga body, you're like, oh, never mind.
This is not actually about weight loss.
Right.
Don't do any behaviors because of weight loss. Just do behaviors that you think are going to make you feel good.
Yes.
Like, I think that doing yoga is going to make me feel good. I think I'll probably feel better if I'm having a high fiber breakfast. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think I'll feel better if I'm having a few more pieces
of fruit. Even I said that, didn't I? To lose the weight, add vegetables.
Yeah.
Gosh,
this is what we do. So it's, but you know, an end result might be that you do lose the weight or you might gain weight. Who knows? Because, right. you know, some people, you know,
retain
you
it,
find your happy way, you know? Yeah. So, but just become curious, right? When I'm doing the healthy habits, you know, what is going to happen to my body? I don't know. But can we be unattached to like the losing of the weight? Can we not take a before and after photo? Can we not do that? Can you not take a starting weight? Okay, crazy idea, but how about not? Because if your body changes, you're going to feel it. Mm-hmm. You'll know it. Like you're not going to need a scale to tell you that things are changing, that you're feeling. Like your body is, it just feels different. Your clothes fit differently. But can we disassociate from that weight loss a bit? And as a result, you're going to be so much more consistent because, you know, let's say you hop on the scale and you haven't lost the weight, you're not going to suddenly forfeit everything, as we talked about. And this is fundamental to your success. Hmm. Yeah.
You're right. Cause adding the things that make, I think just the same thing we've been saying, like go inside, go internal and be like, wow, when I go on a walk every day, I feel so much better. When I do yoga, my mental health is better. When I add the vegetables, my body functions better. And a lot of people don't, especially Americans, we do not, like the Japanese say, eat until you're 80% full. Americans are like, well, how do you know when you're 80% full? Like, it's just a concept that we don't understand. And I think it's because we are trained, everything is external. You need 2000 calories a day. You need to finish your plate. It is mealtime now. You're not going to, and like, there's so many external factors that are telling you when to eat, how much to eat, what to eat, that you're not, nothing is internal. So I think just tapping into that is crucial and exactly what you support. And I think that's so genius.
This is what we talk about, is this is what I call diet noise. And, you know, over the past like 10, 20 years, you would be amazed how much diet noise you have absorbed about like all these rules you have around food, about, you know, carbohydrates, what kinds are okay, how much you're allowed to have, when you're allowed to have them. And so every time you're going to make a food choice, you have like a whole bunch of all this noise like rattling around in your brain. Yeah. Do you know those people who they have some dessert, they have like a couple of bites, they're like, I'm done. That's it. I'm satiated.
Yeah.
These unicorns, I call them unicorns because I don't meet them that often, but I know of them. What's unique about these people is they are naturally intuitive eaters. They have never been caught up in this diet advice. Let's say they have a piece of cake at night. They don't wake up the next morning and go, oh, I have to be extra good so I can counteract the cake that I ate, you know, to make sure that everything's balanced. They simply wake up and they go, I'm going to listen to my hunger, because that's what they do every day. In fact, it's a non-conscious thought. They just listen to their hunger.
Yeah.
But when we have been, you know, victims of dieting and like, oh, you eat this, don't eat that, only this much, the noise in our brain is out of control. It means that we can't just tune into our hunger. We don't even know what hunger feels like. So here's a little strategy for you. Next time you do feel hungry and you might notice extreme hunger, you might like, what you can do is wake up in the morning and just wait until you feel hungry to eat. It might be 11 a.m. Like just see what, become curious. At what time do I become hungry if I'm not just eating on autopilot? And then take note, well, what does that actually feel like in my body? What does the subtle version of hunger feel like for me? What does an extreme version of hunger feel like for me?
Yeah.
And there's a way we can start to do this like experiment. I think we've been taught to like fear hunger. And I'm not talking about crazy hunger. I'm talking about like, you know, every time before we eat, we should feel hungry. Mm-hmm. Every single time. Right. And that makes sense. Our body's like, okay, we're ready for some more food.
Right.
Each time we're eating before we're getting hungry, like we probably have enough energy for right now. We're just eating because it's breakfast time or lunch time or like snack time or like all the times that we normally eat. And life's not perfect. There are going to be times where you eat when you're not hungry, and that's perfectly fine.
Right.
But what would your life look like if you just go back to like eating when you were hungry? You didn't have to stress about food. You were never like ravenous. You were never, in fact, a lot of people, what they do is they get ravenous, and that's a big problem. You know, you wake up in the morning, like, I'm going to be good today.
Yeah.
You eat really healthily. And by what I mean by that is like, you don't quite eat enough, or you eat like chia and salads and like, you know, you get home and you're like, oh my goodness. Or the afternoon, you're like, I'm ravenous. I'm so hungry. You eat the kitchen. You've screwed up again, in inverted commas. And the next day you have to start all over again, and that cycle repeats itself. Anyway, This is the kind of thing that I love talking about because I think it's super common. It happens to a lot of us. We don't think it does, but actually, you know, most of us.
Well, even me, I've already said things this whole podcast and I'm like, oh, well, that's
relatable.
Yeah. But I mean, like but it's also, I'm like, oh, well, how are you going to get back to your pants? You got to add, it's like, well, no, we're trying to do things. Yeah. That's so interesting.
Yeah, and you know what? You've spent how many decades like being told that weight loss is the most important thing. Of course, you know, we're going to have to rewire our brains to think
totally. But I also love
this next generation thinks differently. And how exciting is that?
Yep. No, I agree. Oh, so good. So good.
So fun. Huh?
Yes. Yeah. It's incredible. And I just love everything that you're saying. And I love that we can also tie it into the kids and be like, okay, this is how we need to help them not be in the same pitfalls, essentially, but also that it's realistic. Like, yes, we can control our little bubble and help them feel confident there, but then they're going to go out into the real world and we have to tell them, yeah, it does matter to a lot of people, but you are more than that. And I think the message is so good all around. Thank you.
Fun pleasure. And one more thing, if I can leave you with, is fundamentally the most powerful thing we can do for our kids to help them have a healthy body image, to like how they look, to, you know, make healthy choices naturally, is to role model their behavior. So if you're like me and you grew up struggling with your weight and, you know, hating how you look, then rather than try to focus on how am I going to help my kids, first work on yourself. How can I work to have a more positive body image? How can I work to like not feel like food controls every thought?
Yeah.
Do that work yourself. And then you're going to role model that behavior and your kids are going to grow up with someone who eats when they're hungry, who goes, oh, you know I can eat chocolate anytime I want, but is it what I really feel like? Someone who has choice around food, someone whose headspace is free to think about things other than calories.
Yeah.
What a joy for them to grow up in that kind of environment with someone who just likes who they are and respects their body. And you can get that even if you've been dieting for decades.
Absolutely. I think it's just a lot of self-work. And I feel like that's parenthood. Parenthood is trying to be better, to be a better role model for your kids so that they can see it. And I think a lot of people don't realize that, but it is working on yourself first because they just start to copy everything. And that's what they know. They know what you teach them.
Oh, no pressure or anything, guys.
But, no pressure. But also it's good work for yourself. Like it's a double win if you do the work that you're going to help yourself and you're going to help your children.
Yeah. And it's doable. It really is.
Right. Well, okay, wait, let's talk about your course. So back to basics. What is it?
Yeah.
What it,
it's so I have this app. So I have an app called Back to Basics. And as the name suggests, it's about like, how can we let go of all the like nonsense we've been taught our whole life and just get back to the basics, the things that actually make a difference, things that are actually going to make us healthy. So we're not wasting 80% of our energy, like thinking about the 20%, we're just doing like the key things and like more time for the good stuff. Right. So Back to Basics is like all the healthy recipes and all the ideas, but without the diet nonsense. And so it's an app that you can download. You can try it free for 7 days. But I also have a pregnancy and a postnatal version of it. So like you're pregnant, there's like 100 pregnancy safe workouts, because I think that's a hard thing when you're pregnant. It's like, well, trying to go like a workout class at like 11 a.m. on like a Wednesday, like it's very awkward times.
Yeah.
And like you're nauseous and all those kinds of things. So just being able to stream workouts that you know are safe. There's a physio, women's health physio. So we talk about all the, you know, things that we should be doing to try and prevent all the myriad of things that happen to your body when you're pregnant.
Seriously.
I talk about body image as well, like your changing body. We talk about food. We talk about nausea, all those kinds of things, constipation, diarrhea, like the whole crazy thought of things. Nothing's off limits.
Yeah.
And then in postpartum, we're talking about recovery. Plus there's like a Pilates rehab program. So you can slowly rebuild your strength and not injure yourself. And we talk about things like your changing body and how to deal with that and then what to do from there. So that's back to basics. And
so there's is it one app that also has pregnancy and postpartum in it, or is it two different apps?
Yeah, exactly. So let's say you're not pregnant, you fell pregnant, you would just go into settings, you'd be like, hey, I'm pregnant now, and then it will know what to give you, what content you need based on your stage of pregnancy.
Give you by trimester?
Yeah. Amazing. And then because like as your workouts changes, your body changes, right? And also nutritionally things that's changed. Like postpartum, you probably need a little bit more iron. So it's like, all right, how do we adjust these things for you?
Oh my gosh.
So it just basically tracks you through your pregnancy. Let's say you've finished postpartum, you're like, all right, I'm done, I'm ready to go back to normal version. You toggle it, you're back in normal version. You know, we're back eating foods that you know the whole family can eat. And what I really want to start building out in the app is more like, all right, what would baby foods be looking like? What would toddler foods be looking like? But the whole idea of back to basics is like family friendly meals. So like we're not cooking multiple meals for like different members of the family.
Amazing.
Everything's done in 20 minutes.
Oh, new what? Ingredients. Whoa.
I should have started with that.
So it gives you a bunch of recipes that are good in 20 minutes.
Yeah. Or there are 5 minutes of prep and like 40 minutes in the oven, but like you don't do much. I'm very obsessed with like you not doing much.
I love that.
Yeah. And like ingredients that you can find at the supermarket. Like you don't need to go like fancy foods and they're not expensive and they're simple recipes. It's back to basics. Like the recipes are back to basics recipes. And what's really cool is the app plugs in with online shopping. So like in Australia, you plugs in with my online supermarket. In the US, I think there's a few US like retailers. So you can click a button, all the recipes, ingredients are added to your online shopping cart. So it's pretty cool.
Are you kidding me? That sounds incredible.
It's so cool.
Filter the recipes by, I don't know, dietary restriction.
All the things you need to filter them for. Yeah, totally. And like, I think what's cool is like, how can we save you time? I know it's like your life is hectic enough.
Yeah.
How can we like simplify, make things easy, make health easy, cooking easy? Cause oh my goodness, it's exhausting trying to think about what to make for dinner every night. Right. Like let's not have to do that.
Okay. I love that. I love that.
Thanks.
That's amazing. Yeah. Well, and I think it just goes along with everything that you do. You're like, okay, let's just not make this complicated. Let's just do it as it is. And wow, this was great. This was so
good. Thanks for having me on the podcast.
Thank you so much. And I'm glad that we could figure out time zones.
We struggled there for a bit, but we did.
Well, we got it.
Oh, and just quickly. So the way I met Shayla is that my son is, I do EC with my son, elimination communication, which is, she's got a video about it on YouTube where she talks about doing it and she inspired me to do it. And now my son like does like 90% of his wee's and number twos in the toilet.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. Aaliyah is regressing hardcore. She is like, it happens. It does happen, but I think she's just getting a little personality. And so I'll be like, you have to go potty. And she goes, no. And I'm like, okay. We cloth diapers. So we still get most of the poos because that is like the huge benefit of it. But that's so fun. I love that.
You tried the tiny undies so that there's real feedback to her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, are you asking me? I thought you said you did.
Yeah. Have you tried the tiny undies to see if like
I have real a feedback little bit. Is gonna change? I think I kind of thought about the tiny undies, which are just like trainers, a little padded undies, so they can feel it a little bit more. I think she feels it with the cloth diaper, and I think I was like, I'm gonna commit to the tiny undies when I commit to potty training. But now that you're asking me that, I probably should just go for it. I have three.
Oh, that's how I feel. But you know, it's so fun and I've really enjoyed the process.
Yeah.
I'm so grateful that you got me onto it. It's so satisfying and
it is enjoyable. So and that I feel like they are learning a lot too. I think I'm curious to see how the transition goes to actual potty training, but that's so awesome. I love that you do that and that it's been successful.
And I want to say my husband was very hesitant. He was like, I'm not sure about this. And now he is so keen on it.
Oh,
he loves it. It's like, what a transformation. So,
yes.
You know, they dig it too.
Good. Awesome.
Thanks for having me on your show.
Yes. Thank you so much. I'm so grateful. I think this is such good information for moms and for moms for themselves and for raising little babies.
All right. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you enjoyed it, please share with somebody you think would love. And I would be so honored if you would subscribe to the podcast and leave a comment and rating below so I can know what you guys are digging, what you want more of, just connect with you a little better. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you next time.